Welcome back to the Wadar and the Party Line Talk Show. This is that's our new name. It's a Let's Talk. We're all talking. Look for new things to happen in the new year with the this hour, because one of the things we're talking about is reopening lines and having people call in, be able to call in and ask guest questions, and even having open line discussions, you know, whatever may be topical or in the community or outside of even the community. If you were not listening for the first half of the hour, we were talking, Joe was talking about, we were reminiscing about the passing of Bob Antone of Oneida. And one of the things, the last things I recall was his involvement, or not so much, I wasn't clear about what his involvement was, but I had heard that in Oneida, this is maybe 4 or 5 years ago now, this discussion about suspending band council elections and going under traditional government, which I thought was a very exciting development and one I was trying to watch, but never really got much detail. And of course, maybe things have changed.
Well, when he was working on that, he was getting the band council to go along with a combined meeting with the with the Longhouse, but really it was with the people, and both the band council and the Longhouse did not take a prominent role in the meeting, but the meetings were run along clan lines, and they followed the clan procedure, so that it was really well received. And at one time, Bob had done a survey, and 80% of the population that were surveyed considered the Longhouse as their true government. Mm-hmm. And but it's difficult to exact the change from band council over to Longhouse government because of the money that's involved. People don't want to give that up, and you know, there's a fear of change. So then there was another election. What they had tried to do was to suspend elections for a number of years while they continue working on kind of like a transition to another form of government. But but in the meantime, they held an election, and a new council got in, which was hardcore band council type. So that initiative just petered out. And so right back to where they were before.
That's what the Indian Act was for, isn't it? The elected council was to eliminate the traditional government, and continues to be that way.
They're with the residential schools and all that is all part of that, and that's the one thing. I mean, people, 80% of the people would even here. I don't know about 80%, but a significant proportion of people here would say they would feel that the Mohawk Nation, you know, traditional government is the way we should go.
It's hard to gauge,
but the pathway
what percentage.
The pathway there is a difficult one to get to. And I thought that part about the money, you know, like losing the money in a community like Oneawake, which has, you know, I think it's, what is that, $85 million budget or something?
No,
45. Okay, that would be nice. Eh? But even that would make it worse.
But there's a fear that, you know, we'd lose all that and all that, you know, our pensions and all that stuff. And that's all a lot of hooey that naysayers will try to interject. And the money that we do get from the government is really owed to us for the usurpation of our territories, and so we still have to We've got a long road to hoe in order to get to where the Longhorns wants to get.
The difference, it's a different kind of relationship when you have a traditional government to the feds. It's a different relationship from the Bank Council than the bank and the government. So that has to, and that's what I think. What scares people is that does that mean we're going to lose this? We're going to lose that? We don't know. The object is not to lose them, but to have a better relationship and maybe to improve on what. On that relationship and also more freedom and flexibility to be able to service the community, but not just the community but the nation, and we're really stuck into the Indian Act has really mentally stuck everybody into little reserves, and their mentality, they don't look at it as a nation, they still look at it as little city states, and there's a lot of barriers to going back to that nation to nation relationship, because Gunawag is not a nation, and when you start talking two role and you start talking all of these issues, those things are meant to be from the Mohawk Nation to other governments, not Ganawage necessarily alone.
But isn't part of the problem? I mean, if you just start dealing with the issue on the level of the Longhouse and say, well, the Mohawk Nation, and then say, well, across the territory where there are people of the Mohawk Nation, the Tyendinaga, Six Nations, Agwazasne, and I believe Wata, Ganasatage, and Galawagi.
And Ganyange,
okay. They all have a sort of a distinct character and a distinct way of looking at things. And I wonder then on how does that function? Because on the other level you have the Iroquois Caucus as a a kind of quasi kind of national approach to whatever. But even within the Bank Council system, you have quite different ways of looking at things like membership and so on. And just to get a unified. What are the things you can agree on as a Mohawk Nation to say, wherever our territory is, and if you said, well, okay, does this lead us to the point where we are independent of, or really sort of a national status as opposed to being
a little fiefdom.
Little quote-unquote First Nation number 14.
That was the whole purpose of the decolonization workshops, which are going to continue in various communities. Rick Hill is the other guy, Tuscarora, who worked with Bob on this, and he's going to continue that, partner up with somebody else, and continue that those workshops across not only Mohawk territories, but across the Confederacy.
I think what Bob did though is he would challenge the status quo, he would ask questions, hard questions of people. Why do you do it this way? Why don't you do it that way? Why what's holding you back? Why are you still colonized? Why can't you break out of this colonized thinking? So his skill was challenging that, and making you think. And if you could change your thinking, then you can change your life, or you can change the way you do things. So that was really what I saw as Bob's effort here was to challenge the status quo, and to say you're part of the Haudenosaunee, you have the Great Law. Well, what are you doing? How are you enforcing? What kind of government are you going to be? And so that's why Oneida was able to get to a certain point. He's able to convince people, not only him, but all of them together, was able to convince people this is the direction we should be going into.
Is Oneida a unique kind of a situation in terms of population size, Factionalization.
There are factions in Oneida, just like there are here. You know, and it has, you know, it has hampered some of those, some of that work as well. You know, but the point is not to focus on the on that stuff, but to try to use reason and a good mind to try to advance. Our teachings are. Tell us how to do that. You know, uh-huh. All you got to do is exercise that, and you got to let go of some of the cuts and hurts and the stuff of the past. Or else you'll never you'll just wallow in that stuff. You know, you got to let go of some of those things in order to move forward. And factionalism is an issue and is a problem. However, I'm just talking about Bob himself, and if people don't know Bob, you know, if you ever look at Gunnison-Dage, 270 years of resistance, you'll see a very young Bob Antone, you know, doing what he can to try to calm the situation down, you know, holding an eagle feather on the chest of one of the warriors to control his anger, you know, so to channel the physical anger into a more a spiritual a way of resistance, you know?
Yeah.
And so he I don't know what would happen without Bob there and others, you know, Terry Bruce, and all the others, Bruce, and you know, to try to keep those guys from emotions from getting control and you know, getting their emotions under control. You know, I don't know, it could have been a whole different messier situation.
Joe, earlier in our conversation we were talking about, you know, sort of the, I'll use the term ministrations that were done by Bob and Bruce, and in terms of dealing with the sort of stresses of being there in the midst of it. And I think one of the things that came to my mind when you were talking about that was the concept of say like bundling and then unbundling. At one point in time, you say, well, you're bundled for war, or you're bundled for this, but when you come back, somebody has to attend to you in terms of, you know, everything that you've seen along that particular trail, which is an ordeal.
That's true. Let's face it, under colonization, we've all been stressed in many ways, and we've manifested that stress in other ways through alcoholism, abuse, or do nothing nihilism, and so that was that's the point about decolonization. Was he's teaching how it came about, how it's affected us, and then how, okay, he's asking, okay, what are you going to do about it? Now that you know what colonization has done to you, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
And it challenges people's thinking. Bob's training, aside from the spiritual and traditional teachings that he was well versed in, but he also had taken a lot of courses in clinical psychology, and what he's done is fused some of the clinical aspects into the traditional healing processes, and he's made a lot of writings to that effect. And what he had been the director of a treatment center in Muncie, which is across the river from Oneida, for about 15 years, I think. And during that time, you know, he would handle individuals, of course, but also he brought in families, the whole families, who would undergo the treatments. Mm-hmm. Of their dysfunction, either alcoholism or family strife or abuse, whatever. And in the course of his tenure, of course, he had to report his results to the Ontario, because they were providing the funding. So his success rate was like 98%.
Wow. That's a testament.
And these people were not necessarily Iroquoian or Haudenosaunee. They were also Anishinaabe and that that came and benefited from his treatment.
Yeah.
And he had people working for him and with him who were all versed in the process that he instituted at this treatment center. Unfortunately, politics got in the way, and the people, the chiefs at Muncie, kicked him out.
Yeah.
Because they, I don't know what their reason was. Bob has a way of making enemies as well.
If you challenge people, you're apt to make
exactly.
step on toes on the way. You're listening to K103's Party Line. Also, we're calling ourselves the Wadaru, which is where we're talking together. Speaking of talking together, we're going to take a moment or two to take care of some business. And then we're going to come back to our conversation. We are going to get to an update on the upcoming midwinter festivals. We're going to talk about decolonization. There you go. So don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.